Probably one of the most famous mothers in history. For a very large portion of the world's population is a young woman named Mary. Mary and Jesus, mother and son. And yet we find very little written in Scripture about Mary, describing her and giving us any information that we can kind of understand what her impact was on the life of Jesus. There is the beginning story of when the announcement comes that she's with child. And then she celebrates with her cousin Elizabeth, also with child. We have the story of the dedication where we see Mary and her husband Joseph following through with the rituals, the practices of religious society. So we see that she does give some recognition of that. There's the story of the boy Jesus in the temple. But if you think about it, it also says something about the mother, Mary, who, when she could not find him, went for him, searching to seek him out, and then scolded him a little bit. And then he went and stayed with her. And finally, the scene at the cross, where Jesus looks at his mother and he points her to John and brings the two together to complete the support that his mother needs. In all of the times of the life of Jesus, you see the importance of the mother. Not much is given, but enough is given to give us to understand clearly there was a close mother-son bond. It was a close relationship, and it was a connection that produced good relationships. Remember it said, and Jesus increased in wisdom and stature and in favor with God and man. Identifying relationship that becomes very important. So I did a little review of some of the literature that's out there. And what I wanted to see was, when it comes to mothers, what impact do they have on the development of a child's character, which determines who they are? You know, personality is what people see, and character is what you are when nobody's looking at you. And so I wanted to see, what was it that a mother did in the development of character? And I found that most of the religious information that was given is actually sourced to the Catholic Church and their production. There's quite a bit of other material there, but it just seemed kind of a majority of it. Most religious literature on the development of child character focuses on things that are behavioral. In other words, one of the most important things is to teach a child to be obedient. Now, I want to tell you something. Obedience is an absolute. And if a child hasn't learned that, we're all in trouble. The reason I say that is I found out this week. I took my 2.5-year-old grandson to the mall. And I'm not in a position quite yet of where I'm wanting to move very, very, very fast. And my wife is not in a position to move fast. And we didn't have a harness on him with a leash of any kind. And he likes to run. He doesn't know slow pace of old people. He knows to run. And the Milo just takes off. But I found it interesting, because I would watch him run, and then he would stop and turn to see where we were. And if I went like this, he would immediately run back. If I said to him, "Wait a minute, Milo, we're going this way," he would immediately turn. You have to have your child being able to follow simple, basic safety instructions. Obedience is an important part of it. But as I listened to an individual, an expert on character development in children, she gave an interesting statement. She said, rules are actually counterproductive to character development. Wow. As I looked at the rest of the literature, the secular literature there that wasn't specifically religious literature, I found out that it was more of an emphasis on not the conformity, not the obedience, but was an emphasis on relationships. And when I began to think about that and consider it and to look at the experience again of Jesus and Mary, his mother, one of the things that we see clearly coming through in Luke 2:52 is this aspect of relationship, the connection, a child's relationship with the mother, and then that relationship begins to extend to others. You know the old adage, you don't tell a child what to do, but children, you can tell a child what to do, but the fact is a child is more likely to copy what you do than what you say. Consequently, the relationship in the focus when a mother is dealing with their children, you find instinctively and sometimes through diligent study and character and on character, etc., the idea of developing relationships. I say this very gently. One of the greatest sadness in my pastoral ministry is to observe families who are very strict with their children and a strong emphasis on obedience and performance. Because I also find that those parents tend to be critical of others. And the children, when they grow, now become critical of the parents. You can teach conformity and destroy relationship. And so what I am suggesting this morning as we look at Jesus and the few things that are said about his relationship with his mother, what we find is that there is more than just obedience and following. It says when they went to the temple and he came back, he was obedient and submissive to them. But the fact is that there is this development of relationship, and that what we do as mothers in developing relationships becomes extremely important. I talk about Martha probably too much, more than she likes. The other week when I preached, I gave you some Marthisms, statements that she makes. One of the statements that Martha and I used in bringing up our children was, choose your battles carefully. Remember, your goal is to win the war. I find this, and we said it because our children at that point were becoming teenagers. We had 3 in 3 years, not recommended, but we're very thankful for our 3. The biggest conflict was over music. Now, Martha was brought up in a home where they played and enjoyed classical music. And I can remember as a teenager coming up, growing up as a child, enjoying classical music. And yet, when I became a teenager, I began listening to some other kinds of music and began to appreciate some of that. But I had to be very careful with it. And there was just a very strong disapproval by adults. When I was in England, we listened to BBC for the classical music, but if you wanted to listen to contemporary music, you had to listen to Radio Luxembourg. And that was a naughty thing. You were not supposed to listen to Luxembourg. That was just too far out there. BBC was okay. Then we came to the States, and there were some people that we had to deal with, such as Simon and Garfunkel. There were the Beatles. There was Elvis. Frankly, when I listen to their music, it seems totally tame to what is out there currently. And yet back in the day, those were extremely questionable sources of music. When our children were becoming teenagers, it was more into Guns N' Roses and U2 and the Police and the hard rock. It was interesting to go through and listen to the words and realize the number of popular songs that were actually talking about drug experiences as it went through the veins. But we remembered something that is very important. Choose your battles. Now, it's difficult sometimes to think about it, but you can't help but compare. You know, as parents, you're dealing with your children, and then you watch your friends and how they're dealing with their children, and you go through that. And there were some of the parents who refused to let their children listen to anything that was out there. My wife and I said, let's choose our battle. That's not the hill that we want to die on. We want more than that. And we said to our children this principle, may not work in your home. We said, just don't bother me with your music. If you want to play it, you can listen to whatever you want, but you can't make me listen to it as well. You have to respect the differences within the house. The children listen to music. One day when our eldest son was grown and married, Martha and I flew back to Michigan to visit with them. And they said to us, when you go in the house, the dog is there, but the door's unlocked. It's okay. They lived out in the country in Michigan. Everybody around knew that they had a Doberman Pinscher. So they never had to lock their doors. Nobody ever bothered them. Just walk on in. We knew General, so it wasn't a problem. We walked in the back door. General came up and greeted us. And we heard classical music being played in my son's house. When they came home, we said, what's with the classical music? Oh, it's good for Dobermans. It calms their temperament. Interesting how as people grow and develop, we didn't take on that battle, so there was no rebellion, there was no kind of animosity over it. We were able to maintain relationships as we went through it. There was an open communications. Remember something, mothers. Rules should not destroy relationships. Relationships are vital. The open communication. We saw that in Luke 2 and in verses 50 and 51. It specifically talks about that. It says, and they did not understand the saying that he spoke to them after they chided Jesus. They did not understand. I must be about my Father's business. It isn't that there's understanding in communication. It is that there is an exchange of ideas that is followed with respect, because it then goes on, and he went down with them and came to Nazareth and was submissive to them. But notice this. And his mother treasured up all these things in her heart. Open communication. It's interesting what happens when a child is telling you something and you feel compelled as a parent to say to them, are you sure you want to be telling your mother what you're telling her? Because they just sometimes walk in and open up, and whatever's on their mind and their heart. That, to me, is an indication of a bond of trust and connection that allows for open communication, even sometimes wondering what it is. That's why I love when it says that Mary treasured in her heart. The mother can take that information and can keep it very special in her heart. It's never too late, by the way. We have that in a current example going around the book circuit. Discussions and interviews here in the last couple of months have been two famous people, Anderson Cooper and his famous mother, Gloria Vanderbilt, who as adults became estranged, but decided that they did not want that to go on. And they have brought a reconciliation and written a book together, and they now share it. My own mother, Dora Whiting Keogh, was born in 1910 in England. In the days of horse and carriage, there were a few vehicles running around, but most of what she remembered as a young girl related around horses and carriages. The age of 17 created scandal in her neighborhood when she started driving her brother's motorcycle, not something acceptable for a young woman to be doing. She convinced her father at that time to take her down and get her her driver's license. And my mother, who lived to the age of 102, did not drive all of that time, but she never, ever took a driving test, except the written one. You know, you have to do that, but she never had one go out and test her skill because they didn't do that when she got her license, and they renewed it, and even moving to other countries and coming back into the United States, never had to take a driving test other than the written portion of it. As we grew, there were four of us who survived of her five children. My brother and my sisters had gone and left the home, and I was at home, the favored child. And then it came time when I had to go to secondary school, and my mother said to me, and my father said to me, and I know you've heard this before, you must have a proper British education. So they sent me to England to a secondary school, Stanborough Park, Watford. And there at that place, my mother took me. She had flown with me. She had been to the General Conference here in the U.S. I'd stayed with my grandparents. She came back. The time came. She took me to the school, and she settled me in my room. We walked downstairs to the entrance to the school, and she gave me a hug and a kiss. She turned. She walked. It was a long, long, winding driveway through a beautiful park setting down to the public road where she would catch the bus and go to the airport, catch a plane, and go back to Lebanon. And I knew that I wouldn't see her for another 9.5, 10 months. And I can remember standing there, watching this person who had been everything to me walk away. She never turned and looked or waved, but kept walking. That moment in my heart was so tender that I could not find the ability to share it with anybody, to say anything, until I was in my 40s. Then I began to slowly share the experience. And one day I finally had the opportunity to see and be with my mother, and I brought up that experience. She said to me, "That's one of the hardest things to do." I knew I could not turn around. I would have run back. She kept on going. It is very difficult for us in order to know what life is like. There is pain and there is joy. And the beauty of mothers is their huge hearts that can accommodate it all, the pain and the joy, and keep it in perspective. And like Mary, that mother, our mothers today can still treasure in their huge hearts. They teach us by example to be God's children, to form characters. They teach us our relationship with others. God bless our mothers.